How we doing? What's up? Do it. Hey, good evening. Have you guys had the best week so far? Not a bad week, huh? Let me ask you this. Who came here kind of not into it and is sad to leave tomorrow because they had such a good time? Yeah, isn't that the best? If I could just be honest with you for a second about... If I could just be honest with you for a second about why I love camp, specifically the experience that you guys got to have this week. If you remember during COVID when we were all locked away in our homes, there was a television show that came out that my family and I were just glued to. It was a TV show called Alone. Anyone ever watch Alone? You learned some of those practices actually this week in your survival skills class, I believe it's called. And what they teach you in survival, and really what this show is about, it's like a wilderness survival show, is that there's three primary things that you have to have in order to survive. What are they?
Water,
and fire. Yeah. Food, shelter, fire. Oh, water's overrated. You guys do just fine on Mountain Dew. It's all good. But as I'm watching this television show, there's always that moment in those wilderness survival shows where the participant has to make a fire. And what they do to make a fire is they find tinder, something that would ignite really quickly and really easily. And then they have a small kind of batch of sticks and then some bigger sticks and then eventually some logs. And whatever technique they use to create heat, to create an ember, you'll see them work really, really hard at it. That's what you got to do this week. This week, through applying yourself, through the classes, through going through the schedule that the staff here at Hume put together for you, that's that work of building just a little ember. And that ember is the faith that God has implanted into each of your hearts. And then my favorite part of those shows, it could be the movie Castaway, it could be a Bear Grylls show, it could be the show Alone, whatever it may be. I love that moment where you see the effort go into that ember. It goes into the little tinder box, and then you see that person just try and fan that flame. And eventually that ember, when it's hit with oxygen, will ignite into a flame, and then that person has fire, which is crucial for survival. What God did in your hearts this week is he sparked an ember of love for him. And some of you maybe came here to camp this week with a love already for God. That's amazing. What we got to witness last night was some of you putting your faith in Jesus for the first time. That's the start of that ember. But friends, what I want to close our time together talking about tonight is how you now have to carry that little flame home with you and walk with God for the rest of your days, like we saw depicted on the film, like we've looked into Daniel's life and seen him do, because life will be long. And there will be moments where life gets difficult. There will be times where you bring consequences and sin onto yourself, and there'll be other times where it feels like life is unfair and you are falling victim to the difficulties and the frailties of this world. Regardless of your age, it's up to you. It's up to you to take the faith that God has stoked in your life this week and to take it home with you and allow other people's lives to be warmed by the love of God in your life. That's the mission that God has for you. One of the coolest things that we've got to see happen time and time again through the story of Daniel's life is we've seen someone live with resilience in direct opposition to a culture that continually tried to distract, that continually tried to get him to be disobedient, that continually tried to tempt him to wander away from what he knew was right. You will face those very same things. And so the question is, what will you do as a result of it? Turn with me to Daniel chapter 9, and we'll conclude our time together looking at this prayer that Daniel prays in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9 is where we're going to be. We're going to read this prayer. It's just so awesome. And Daniel's prayer goes like this. It says, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler of the Babylonians' kingdom. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. What Daniel is just bearing witness to is the fact that he knew because of other prophets before him that this great calamity would fall over the nation of Israel, that Israel would fall, that Jerusalem would be besieged, that hardship would fall upon him and the rest of the Hebrews. Why? Because their hearts didn't belong to God. Their hearts belonged to the idols and the adversaries that were around during their day. The same thing is true of us. Our hearts are so prone to wander. You're going to go home tomorrow so on fire for the Lord, and it will take but a day for you to get distracted from what you know is right. There's no secret formula to camp. There's nothing magic in the water here. In fact, the same things that we did this week that make you feel on fire for the Lord, you, my friends, can do when you head home from camp. Think about what we did. We spent time in God's Word every day, multiple times a day. We had moments where we prayed, where we laid our hearts before God, where we invited him to speak to us, and we turned a listening ear. You spent time in community. Look around you. This is who God has in your life for this specific moment. Surround yourself with people who love Jesus and make you want to pursue him and be more like him. Look at your counselor, your instructor, your teacher, whoever that adult that's been in your cabin with you. That's someone God's given you in this season of your life to show you what it means to be a follower of Jesus. At least twice a day, we've spent time singing songs to God, which we know through the reading of the Psalms pleases the Lord when we sing songs to him. The Bible describes the songs that we sing to God like a sweet aroma. Think of your mom or your grandma baking cookies and how it just fills the house with a warmth that makes your tummy rumble. The Bible talks about our praise and worship to God doing just the same thing. Friends, none of that has to change tomorrow. None of that has to change on Sunday. But when we reduce our relationship with Jesus down to a list of things that we should do and we should not do, we've turned it into a religion. But remember, the invitation that God has placed on each of our lives is to seek his presence daily. That's why the Bible would tell us to pray without ceasing, to pray continually. Look at what else Daniel says. In his prayer, he prays this. He says, Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commandments and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you're righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. And even though we rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving our attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Friends, what I'm reading to you is a prayer of repentance. You have to remember this about God. When he seems far away, when it seems like you've made a mess of things, when it seems like things have been done to you that are unfair, you have to remember what God is looking for is a broken heart. When we confess to God our sins, what we're doing is we're making room for him to enter into our lives. Remember, Jesus cannot be your savior until you make him your God. This is the whole idea of a king. And so when we cry out to God and we acknowledge his place in our lives and we confess our shortcomings, what we've done is we've made room for God to enter into our situation. What Daniel is doing here is he's repenting to the Lord for the sins of his nation. And in doing so, he's revealing a broken heart to the Lord, and God loves that. He even talks in this verse that we just read that God is merciful, that God is forgiving. God's forgiveness for you never runs out. God's mercy for you never runs out. The question is, do you want it? Look at what he goes on then to say. He says, "Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand," this is verse 15, "and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned and we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy." It's such a beautiful prayer that Daniel prays. And notice in this prayer, Daniel doesn't set himself up to be a victim. In fact, Daniel takes ownership over what's happened to him and his people. You have to fight against that mentality that would make all of the wrong in your life make you feel like you are the worst of the worst. You have to live lives that feel empowered, to live lives of godliness, to pursue Jesus above all else. One of my favorite passages in the New Testament is found in the book of Philippians, where Paul talks about similar things that we just read. Let me read this to you. No need to turn here, but if you want to write it down so you could read it later, it's Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. In it, Paul says this. Actually, I'll start at verse 7. He says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." Sounds similar to Daniel's words, doesn't it? Nothing can compare. Nothing can compare to knowing Jesus. He then goes on to say, "I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." And here's the last two verses here that I want to point out. Listen to these words. He says, "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." The Apostle Paul in the New Testament writes words very similar to Daniel's. And in them he says, "God, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." What he's telling us is nothing can compare to knowing Jesus. He says, "What is more, I consider it rubbish. I consider it trash." He would then go on to say, at the end of the day, what he wants is two things. One, he wants to know Christ. There's this awesome Greek word that he uses here, and the word is G-I-N-S-K-O, ginosko. And this word ginosko means to both know and to be known. Think of your best friend that you can just belly laugh with over all the inside jokes you have. Think of your most favorite family member. Maybe it's someone you only see at the holidays. Maybe it's your mother or your father. Someone who, when you're around them, it feels like home. It feels familiar. What Paul's talking about here is that his faith in Jesus is just like that. There's nothing else in this life that could compare to knowing Jesus this way and to knowing that you are also known by Jesus in this way. Remember that verse I've referenced a few times, Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2. "He knows when you stand, he knows when you sit, he can discern your thoughts from afar. In this verse is also tucked away with a little bit of purpose, because Paul also says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection." And then at the end of it, he says, "so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead." It's like that ember I was telling you about. Your faith is meant to be shared. Friends, if God has transformed you, if you have had an experience with him this week, then it is now your responsibility to bear witness to that when you go home tomorrow. As a parent, there are a few things in life more frustrating than when my children get home from school and I ask them how their day was. Do you know how they respond?
It was good.
We do that, don't we? I don't know why. How was your day? Good. What does good even mean? If you're not careful, don't let me lose you. If you're not careful, tomorrow you'll get off your bus or out of the van, and whoever has guardianship over you will pick you up, and you'll jump in the car, likely exhausted from the ride, and they'll say, "How was camp?" The answer you should not give is a one word that says good. The answer you should give, I'm not saying that means it wasn't good. Let me finish. If camp was good, awesome. But when whoever picks you up tomorrow from your school when you get back, when you jump in that car and someone says, "How was camp?" Be ready to give them an answer of why it was so good. Why was it so good? Let's talk about this for a second. It's not meant to be rhetorical. Just hold tight. Let me break this down for you. This is called a testimony. This is called bearing witness. Friends, if God has done something in your life this week, share it freely with others. If God has done something in your heart this week, if it feels like you love him more than when you got here, if it feels like you believe in him more than when you got here, be primed and ready to share that with the people that you go home to tomorrow. You may think, "I don't have the words. I'm not good at communicating. I didn't memorize all the Bible verses." Who cares? God's not looking for perfection. What God's looking for is a heart that desires to be with him and to share about him with others. One of my favorite quotes is a quote that goes like this: God's grace is opposed to earning, but it's not opposed to effort. What that means is there's nothing we can ever do to earn God's grace, but what we can do is put the effort in to grow in our understanding of who God is and what it is that he's done for us. So tomorrow, put in the effort to share what Jesus did in your heart this week. Oh man, your parents would be so excited to hear about it. And there may be moments like Daniel where you share it and someone goes, "Cool, sounds good. What do you want for dinner?" And it might feel like a little bit of rejection. That's okay. Jesus actually forewarns us. He tells us, "Hey, in this world, you're going to have trouble." In other places, Jesus warns us that we're going to face persecution. In fact, a lot of the people that we've read about in the Bible this week were killed because of the faith that they have in Jesus. Now, I don't wish that upon any of you, but Jesus warns us that that is something that's on the table. And that's why it takes us living with resilience and obedience, because we know that above everything else, God is the most important thing in our lives. Jesus would say it this way, in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, Jesus answers a really important question by giving us a very specific answer. He says this in Matthew 22. He's approached by somebody in verse 26. Right here. 36, my bad. In verse 36, I promise I've done this before. In Matthew 22, verse 36, someone approaches Jesus and says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus then replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself." If you want to know how to honor all that God has written for us to understand about him, friends, it comes down to two things. Love God with everything you have, and love others the same way that you love yourself. He says all the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. And another part in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, chapter 9, Jesus would say it this way. He would say, "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and pick up their cross daily to follow me." Jesus is addressing a crowd of people who might label themselves Christians, who might say, "Hey, I go to church on Sundays." He's addressing a crowd of people who might say, oh, no, I grew up in a Christian home. I go to a Christian school. Jesus goes, okay, that's actually not what I've asked of you. What I've asked of you is to pick up your cross every day and to deny yourself to follow after me. This is what it means to be a Christian. In the first century, there was no term for Christian. In fact, the early church was known as followers of the way because Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and nobody gets to the Father except through me. So then the question is, how do we too begin to be followers of the way? Well, Jesus gives us an answer, and it's twofold. The first, he says, you must deny yourself. What that means for us is that we have to say no to trying to be the God of our own lives. We have a king. His name is Jesus, and he's invited us to follow him with all of our lives. The second thing he says is that you must pick up your cross daily to follow after him. What that verse means to us is this. The cross is the representation of all the hope we have in the gospel. Jesus hung on that cross. Jesus died on that cross. And now that cross is a representation of the resurrection life that each of us has been invited to live when we put our faith in Jesus. So what it means for us to bear our cross is for us to associate, to identify with the life of Jesus every day that we're here on earth. And when we fail to do so, when we mess up, just like we read in Daniel, we repent. We say, God, I'm so sorry. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Help me to do better. Sometimes as Christians, we have to really begin to wrestle with and learn this art of repentance. Because if we don't, we get filled with shame. And that's where distance between us and God comes in. And friend, that distance between us and God is actually not a real thing. God never walks away from us. We turn our backs on God. Repentance is how we turn back towards him. And so if you go home and fall into sin, it's bound to happen. A simple confession and a prayer that says, God, I'm so sorry I sinned against you. I know you're holy. Please forgive me. Clean slate. Let's keep walking with Jesus. I share all of this with you tonight because I'm so proud of the faith that I've got to see on display this week. This morning, I was in a meeting with all your counselors, and we were just recounting the courageous acts of faith and boldness that many of you showed last night by standing up to put your faith in Jesus. Others of you hung back in this chapel to pray, to open up your hearts to a trusted adult and say, man, something's off. That doesn't have to stop when you go home. Nor does your seeking of the Lord. If you take nothing else away from the story of Daniel, may it be that you too can live with courageous obedience to God, regardless of the environment that you're in. In fact, sometimes God allows us to be in difficult environments because hard environments need light. And you're someone who gets to bear witness to the light of all the universe, Jesus, the only hope any of us has. I hope that this week at camp has served as just an encouraging reminder in your faith. And for some of you, it was the starting point. As I said, friends, this doesn't have to stop. You get to take Jesus home with you as you go. And as you do so, would you live with bold and courageous faith like Daniel, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in? I believe in you, and I know that the adults who came here with you do too. Lean on them. As I said last night, get involved in a church that teaches the Bible. Don't just show up, be a part of it. If you go to that church and they have a youth pastor, if you want to see them cry with excitement and do a backflip, say this, hey, how can I serve? How can I be involved? I want to give back to this faith community. Tell me a way that I can do it. If you want to see God do even more incredible things in your life, take risks in your faith. Share your testimony. Join that Bible club on your campus. Don't ever be shy to share with others what God has done in your life because you never know what that testimony can do in the life of someone else who may need to hear that hope too. Again, the story of Daniel is the story of someone who stood up for his faith in a culture that was directly opposed to the things of God. And in doing so, many people came to know his God because of the witness that he bore in a culture that had no idea who that God was before Daniel and his friends showed up. You too can live that way. You're not too young. You've got what it takes. I'd love to close our time praying for you. But as we do, I want to invite you to do something that we do at my church when we close church, and it's just to receive a simple blessing. So friends, if you want to receive this blessing that I would love to pray over you, all I want you to do is just hold your hands out right where you are. And we'll conclude our time together studying through the book of Daniel this way. God, I thank you so much for these students. I thank you so much for their faith. And Jesus, I pray as we part ways and each of us goes back to live our lives, that you would fill the souls of these students with faith. I pray, God, that you would fill their hearts with obedience. Lord, in a culture that is trying so often to tell them what is most right, what is most truthful, I pray that they would look to your word to find that truth. God, I pray for these adults. In a time where it's so difficult to lead, where it's so difficult to stand up for what we believe in, I pray that you too would give them that obedience and that faithfulness to live for you above all else. I pray that you'd give them endurance and perseverance to lead these students in their education, both on and off their campuses. I pray, God, that you would help them to be beacons of hope and light in their communities. That, God, if they're weary with the school year winding down, that you would fill them with wind in their sails as they got to see you, that they got to see you move this week. Lord, I pray for all the students and for all the adults that are here this week, including Hume's staff. And I pray that this week would serve as a reminder that you are not dead, that you are still alive and at work in the hearts of your people. I pray that you would fill each of us with a sense of your presence, with a hunger for your word, and a faith that can set this world on fire for you. We love you so much, Jesus. It's in your beautiful name we pray. Amen.